Yamasya. Of Yamaraj. Devasya. The demigod in charge of judgment. Na. Not. Dandabhanga. The breaking of the order. Kutasjana. From anywhere. Rishe. O great sage. Shutapurvaha. Heard before. Asit. Was. Etat. This. Mune. O great sage. Rishyati. Can eradicate. Lokasanchayam. The doubt of people. Na. Not. He. Indeed. Twat anyaha. Anyone other than you. Iti. Thus. May. By me. Vinishchitam. Concluded. Translation, O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this and that no one but you can eradicate. Since this is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons for these events. So you can repeat, O great sage.
O great sage.
Never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this, that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons with these events. So there's no purport to this text, nor the next text. So we'll just read till we get to text 4, which has a purport. Text 3, Shishukavacha Bhagavat Purasai Rajan Yamya Prati Hatod Yamaha Patim Vigyapayam Asur Yamam Samyamani Patim. Maybe we can turn off the airplane. It sounds like we're taking off. Sri Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, when the order carriers of Yamaraj were baffled and defeated by the order carriers of Vishnu, they approached their master, the controller of Samyamani Puri and master of sinful persons, to tell him of this incident." And finally, text 4. Yamaduta huchu kati saniha shastaro jivalokashvai prabhu trivadyam kurvata karma pula vivyati hetavaha. The Yamaduta said, "Our dear Lord, how many controllers or rulers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature, sattvagun, rajogun, and tamogun?" Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, were so disappointed that they asked their master, almost in great anger, whether there were many masters other than him. Furthermore, because the Yamadutas had been defeated and their master could not protect them, they were inclined to say that there was no need to serve such a master. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, what is the use of serving such a powerless master? Interesting. So, Om Ganatimadandasya. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. So I think everyone's aware of the details of this story in which the Yamadutas were coming for Ajamil. Ajamil had performed varieties of heinous activities, meaning very, very sinful activities. And he was destined to be punished by the Yamadutas. Like that story we told the other day. You remember the story we told about the Govardhan Shila? Oh, you weren't here. Anyway, we told this story in Lambasa, so none of you heard this story. So the story about Govardhan, which I like to tell stories about Govardhan. Govardhan and Hanuman, those two. So anyway, so what happened is that once upon a time, there was a Brahmin, and he was visiting Govardhan. He was visiting Braj. But he was going to Govardhan and Braj to get some pious activities. Generally, people go to the holy place to go do punya, to become relieved from their sins, you know, from their bad karma. That's why when people go to the Ganges, they dump off all their bad karma in the Ganges. And the Ganges River did not want to come down to the earth planet for that reason. She said to Bhagirath, that if I go down to the earth planet, all these rascals will bathe in me, and then I'll become contaminated. So Bhagirath had an answer to that. He said that also, in addition to all the rascals who will bathe in you, you'll get the sadhus who will bathe in you, and they actually can purify you in a holy place. So the sadhus can purify the Ganges. So people generally go to holy places for that reason. So this one Brahmin, he went to a holy place, Govardhan, and he did his Govardhan Parikrama. And he was saying, you know, Jaya Jagadisha Hari Swami Jaya. You know, he was doing such an Orion Katar. So, devotee asked me the other day, can we do such an Orion Katar? And I said, well, you want to preach, but not in the Hare Krishna temple. Because we don't want Karma Mishra Bhakti taught in the Krishna consciousness movement. Karma Mishra Bhakti means you're mixing your desire with your bhakti. You're doing your bhakti for some purpose. You want to get money. You want to become famous. You want to become strong. Just like one time I was going around Govardhan Hill, and the little children were bothering me. So to get rid of them, I told them that I was a famous cricket player, and I would do service for Govardhan before a match. And they offered obeisances. I said, oh, please accept their humble obeisance. All glories to Prabhupada. So, anyway, so generally people go around Govardhan for that purpose. And this Brahmin also had the same idea. So what happened is that he took a Shila. Really wasn't qualified to be worshipping Govardhan, but he took a Govardhan Shila with him anyway. So he thought, well, might as well take Govardhan with me. Actually, one's not supposed to do that without the permission of the Govardhan Vasis, and also without the permission of the Guru. You have to get these two things. It's not that you should just go there and take a Govardhan Shila, because you have to be sufficiently advanced. Worship of Govardhan is for those on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, not Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means you're following the rules and regulations for, just because they're the rules and regulations, because you're supposed to do it, and you want to get advanced. And Raghunuga means you're doing it spontaneously. Like you wake up, the example is, you wake up early in the morning spontaneously, you want to go to Mangalarti. And in Vaidhi Bhakti, you have to go to Mangalarti. It's just a difference in motivation. You have to go because it's the order of the spiritual master, and I have to follow the order of the spiritual master. If I disobey the order of the spiritual master, I'm committing the offense. Disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Oh my God, so I have to go to Mangalarti. Yeah. And then you just like shuffle during Mangalarti. You understand shuffle? It's like you see sometimes people in Mangalarti, they're just like, I wish I wasn't here. But because Gurudev is visiting, I have to come. Boy, I just hope he goes away soon so I can sleep on. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. That's actually not even good Vaidhi Bhakti. Good Vaidhi Bhakti, you understand the Guru is always there and Krishna is always there. But in bad Vaidhi Bhakti, you think he's not here when he's not physically present. So, unqualified, he took the Shila. So. But then he left Raj and he had the Govardhan Shila in his hand. And then this horrible Rakshasa attacked him. And the Rakshasa, as described, had a tongue that was like 10 hands long. That's a long tongue. Like one of those lizards, sometimes they have a long tongue. This is Rakshasa, and it had with three heads, three stomachs, you can have three stomachs, like 10 arms. You know, this is a really ugly creature. So he attacked the poor Brahmin. And the Brahmin was thinking, the Brahmin was from Bengal, actually. And Bengalis are very small. They're not very strong people. They're not very courageous or anything like that. If you want strong people from India, you go to Punjab or to Rajasthan. And you get the Rajputs, isn't it? Just like one time I was talking to one Rajput man and I disagreed with him. And he said, if you weren't a sannyasi, I'd kill you. And I said, thank God I took sannyas. But the Bengalis, they're very, very small. And they start shivering. They're more intelligent too, very intelligent. But they don't have the strength. So this Brahmin started shaking, and he didn't know what to do. So finally he just threw the Govardhan Shila at this Rakshasa. Boom. And then all of a sudden, the Rakshasa looked like a beautiful cowherd boy. He had a flute, you know, similar features to Krishna. And the Brahmin was saying, huh? Hare Krishna. You know, what's happened here? And the Rakshasa was no longer a Rakshasa. He was actually a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He started to glorify Govardhan Hill and the worship of Govardhan. And he said that one moment in Govardhan Hill, if you even see Govardhan Hill for an instant, it's equivalent to 10 million years of austerities. Pretty good, isn't it? And then he went through the whole thing about all the Ashwamedha sacrifices, you know, comparing circumambulating Govardhan, seeing Govardhan, serving Govardhan, with all these different procedures that are very difficult. And he was glorified. So then this Brahmin, getting to the point, the Brahmin said to this beautiful cowherd boy, you know, playing with his flute and everything like that, he said, you know, how did you get the body of the Rakshasa? You know, what did you do? And then the previous Rakshasa, the coward boy right now, he started to explain. He said, many, many millions and millions of years ago, I was married to a very nice girl, and I had my parents at home taking care of them. And then I became attached to a prostitute. And I became attached to the prostitute, and my wife didn't like it that much. And my parents, they started to criticize me. You know, that's obvious, you know. You ask your son, you know, where are you going tonight? I'm going to with the prostitute. So his wife didn't like it, and his parents were upset with him. So he decided to kill his parents. So he just killed them one day, just chopped their heads off. And then his wife, he thought, you know, this is too much, you know. She's interfering with my sense gratification. And this is the point. Yad indriya pritiyapadot. Nunam pramata purute vikarma. Yad indriya pritiyapadot. If someone is attached to sense gratification, they can do any damn thing. They can commit any sort of sinful activity. Nunam pramata purute vikarma. That means, yad indriya pritiya. So if one considers his senses very dear, he becomes pramada. Mad, crazy. So this person, he did that. And then he waited until his wife was going shopping and he killed her while she was shopping. And it was like in the old days in Fiji when the police didn't respond. Or like the new days in India when the police don't respond. Anyway, so what happened is that He took his prostitute and went to South India. He thought, now, love, love, all you need is love, love, all you need is love. But then, the problem with being attached to sense gratification is you get tired even of, you know, your sense gratification after a while. That's called bhoga tyaga. You mentioned this the other day. That you enjoy like anything. And then after a while, like eating. Like last night we had a big plate of prasadam. And I was thinking, oh, so much enjoyment. I ate. And after a while, no longer tastes good. Right? Because you eat. You become satiated. But chanting Krishna's holy names, you never become satiated. That means satisfied or full. You never say, no more that mantra. Oh, I want to stop it for today. I want to fast from chanting for a week and then I'll really enjoy it next week. I want to fall down into sense gratification so I can come back and become a new devotee and enjoy chanting again. So, it's like that, sense gratification. So anyway, so this Brahmin, he became tired, not Brahmin, but this man, became tired of the prostitute. So what did he do with the prostitute? He threw her into a well. You know, without water in it. Because if it had water, she could swim out. But he did, you know that blind well? Blind well means no water. He threw her there and he just watched her die. He said, goodbye, honey. And then he got worse. You think that was bad? Then he started killing. He became a dacoit. Dacoit means robber, thief, whatever, murderer. And so he started attacking people on the path and killing them and taking their money. Brahmins, kshatriyas, like, he didn't care. You know, women, whatever. As long as they had money. As long as they had money. And in India, it's very interesting. Like, the women keep their money in the jewelry, in the gold. So they're very happy to take the gold jewelry from everybody. So he was very, very sinful. I mean, incredibly sinful. I mean, talk about Ajamil. He made Ajamil look like a super pious man in comparison. You know, Ajamil would have been like, we would have worshipped him in comparison. So he became super sinful, and then one day he was walking, and then a snake bit him. And the snake bit him, and of course then he died. And then he saw our friends, the Yamadutas, come and get him. And they dragged him away with the ropes of Varuna. And even the trip to Yamaloka is not a nice trip. They're dragging you, and the vultures and the hounds. Hounds means like the dogs. Dogs are biting you. That's not very nice. There's like one time I was walking on the street here and a dog bit me. Just one dog. It was very traumatic. I was bleeding. I was ready to kill the dog. You know, so you remember, some of you may remember that. And then so you have like hundreds of thousands of dogs biting you. Vicious dogs. And the Yamadutas are whipping, walk faster, run, run, run. And then they tie you upside down by your feet and they whip you. Wow. And then, so what happened is that he really, because he was attached to the prostitute, he had to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex. You know, they do that. And then he had to just, like, embrace, you know, like a nice Bollywood movie. And then he was forced like that, you know, red burning all over your body. And then he was subjected to 8 million tortures by the Yamadutas. Wow. And then he got a chance to be a worm after all that nice vacation in Yamaloka. And then after that, he worked his way up, you know, gradually through the species of life. And then he became this demon. But because he was hit by the Govardhan Shila, now don't you try that. I don't want anyone grabbing my Govardhan Shila and throwing it at each other, you know, or hitting each other with it. Because it won't work. It'll be an offense. Because action in knowledge, like if you commit an offense in knowledge, that's very serious. It's like the difference between namavas and nama aparada. Like if you think you're going to chant inattentively, that's an offense. But if someone knows nothing about Krishna and he chants in the tent, I believe that's Namabhas. You understand the difference? Like if we meet someone on the street and they hear Harinam and they go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and they go away like that, Hare Krishna, and they tell their girlfriend, Hare Krishna, that's Namabhas. But if you do that, that's Namaparada. So you don't take a Govardhan Shila and start hitting each other because you're not going to take a spiritual body. So the moral of the story is, relating to this particular pastime here, is that when one takes up devotional service, by Namabhas chanting even, or by coming in contact with Govardhan, one gets relieved from all their sinful activities. Even seeing the Rath Yatra cart, following the Rath Yatra cart, like we had a Rath Yatra on Saturday, or taking prasadam, or any way of serving the devotees, you become free from sinful activity. I mean, this is amazing, isn't it? It's so amazing that sometimes you even find people disagreeing. Like the story of Haridas Thakur. He was making this point in the assembly house of the Majumdras, which is Hiranya and Govardhan, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. He made this point that by Namabhas chanting, you become free from all sin. And this Gopal Chakravarti, he disagreed with that. He got very angry. He said, how can this be that simply by Namabhas chanting you become free from sin? And he challenged Haridas Thakur. He said, if you are wrong, I'm going to cut your nose off. And Haridas Thakur said, I'm so sure I'm right. I would cut my own nose off if I was wrong. And what happened is that this gentleman, who was previously connected with the tax collection department in Fiji, no, actually in India, not in Fiji. He was like, yes, he was with the tax department. Because Govardhan and Hiranya, they were tax collectors. So what happened is that he was kicked out. He was lost his job, even though he's on contract. And then he shortly thereafter developed leprosy. And guess what happened? His nose melted away. Because with leprosy, your nose melts, your fingers melt, and it's a pretty bad disease. They used to have a leper colony here in Fiji. So it's very, very bad. I mean, now they have a cure for it. Okay? They have some sort of injections or cure for leprosy. So in any case, by Namabhas chanting, one can get liberated. I mean, even there's also the story that everyone here is familiar with of Valmiki, that he was committing so many sinful activities. And because he was shown that his wife and family wouldn't share in those reactions, he took instruction from the Sapta Rishis and began to chant Namabhas again. No, Mara, Mara, Mara. You know, that's Namabhas. When you chant Mara, 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 it becomes Ram, 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 Ram. And then as a result, he became a great sage. So such is the glories of the holy name. So here the Yamadutas, they're pretty upset. You know, we've never been stopped before. You know, we have the ropes of Varuna, as I mentioned before. We're strong. Yamaraj is all-pervading. It's described, he's all-pervading in the sense that he's omniscient because he's connected with the Supersoul. So what's happening here? What's happening is that there are different injunctions for different people on different levels, different rules and regulations for different people and different levels. That's what's happening. And the Yamadutas don't realize that there are higher and lower injunctions. Yes, if someone commits sinful activities, they're bound to be punished. However, and there's a big but, however, if they perform devotional service, they're freed from those sinful activities. They're on a higher platform, even if they're not yet perfect. Just like it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, that we should offer respects in the mind to someone who just chants Hare Krishna once. We respect them as a Vaishnava. Maybe not the highest level of Vaishnava. Maybe they're Kanishtha Adhikari, or maybe they're less, but they're Vaishnava. Or even we should respect people of different religions who are chanting God's names. Just like we have our interfaith dialogue here. Now, they may not be following all the rules and regulations. They may be eating meat. But still, they're religious to a certain extent. The Prabhupada said they're Vaishnavas. The Prabhupada said Krishnas are also Vaishnavas. I mean, they don't understand that Vishnu, but Vaishnava means to worship Vishnu or his multifarious expansions. They may be chanting the names, secondary names of God. You know the difference between secondary and primary? Primary names of God are like Krishna, Govinda, Ram, Lakshman, Bhart, Shatrughna. That means they refer to God as a person. Secondary names are in reference to God as his position, in terms of his position, like the all-pervading one, Paramatma, or Allah, or Jehovah, or Yahweh. You know what Yahweh, that's a Christian or a Jewish term for God. Or the one that is. These are all secondary. So if anyone's chanting any name of God, as we know from Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtaka, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktish, that within your holy names, Krishna, you put all your transcendental potency, that's primary and secondary names. So we respect someone who is chanting Krishna's name, even a secondary name. Even if someone's saying Allah, Allah, like that, and they're becoming free from sin. It's amazing. Even they don't know, they're becoming free from sin. So this is a very important point for us to understand, to respect other Vaishnavas. Because if we can even offend people, like the first offense of chanting is criticize and blaspheme those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, we can actually blaspheme people outside of our religion or outside of Krishna consciousness or outside of our movement. We have to be very, very careful. Of course, at the same time, if someone is saying, I'm God, or some bogus, hairy guy is God, then we can criticize them. But we have to be very careful with actually religious people who believe in the personality of God or who chant the names of God in one way or the other. So there's different injunctions. The point is, so the Yamadutas are not allowed to attack anyone who chants the name of God. Even if they're a Muslim meat eater and they're chanting Haram, how horrible. The Yamadutas are not permitted. So that's a different injunction. So we find that in the Vedic literatures there are different prescriptions for different people at different levels. That was brought out in a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy, what's the highest? Or what's the goal of life? The goal of life. It's in a part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita called the Ramananda Sambhada. It's in the 8th chapter of the Majjhalila. You can read about this. So Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, you know, what is the duty of the human being? What is the goal of life? And Ramananda Roy first replied, saying Varnashram Dharma, and following Varnashram Dharma is the goal, right? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is simply material. But for many people, it would be good. If people are uncivilized, yes, they should follow Varnashram Dharma. But then Lord Chaitanya rejected that as the highest goal. And then Lord Chaitanya said, give me something better. And then even Ramananda Roy recited this verse, Yat karoshi yat asnasi yat jahoshi tadasi yat yat apashasi kanti yat tat kur swaha madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you offer should be done for Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya said, that's pretty material too. Now that's really interesting. Because that's a pretty high platform. You know, whatever you offer, whatever you eat, should be done as an offering to Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya rejected that in the sense that it's people were doing that for some material motive. He said it's not the highest goal. But it's good for people on that platform. Lord Chaitanya didn't say no one should do it. He rejected it as the highest. And then Ramananda Roy said, well, all right, here's something a little higher. Sarvadharmam prachaja, mamekam sharanam praja. Renounce everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, that's still external. Give me something more. And then Ramananda, but still, it's good. I mean, we're not denying that Krishna's injunction of sarvadharmam prachaja, mamekam sharanam praja is good. Then Ramananda Roy said, well, karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti. Karma misra, we already talked about. Jnana misra bhakti, that means bhakti mixed with a desire for liberation or for knowledge. You know, why you're chanting? I want to go back to Godhead. Like Prabhupada said, that we should want to get out of the material world. You know, one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, I just want to serve Krishna life after life. And Prabhupada said, no, you should want to get out of here. But that instruction from Prabhupada is not applicable for everybody. I mean, if someone is pure devotee, they should just want to serve Krishna life after life. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhakti oitaki tvaye. Isn't it? Ainanda tamichati. So that's... Anyway, so there's different injunctions for different people. That's what I'm showing. That we should want to get out of the material. You should pray, Krishna, take me back out of the material world. I'm your eternal servant and I'm suffering in this material world. Please fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. We should pray like that. But when you get higher, you get to the last shikshashika, Krishna, you can do anything you want. But don't pray like that because you don't believe it right now. You say, Krishna, you can do anything you want, but don't do this, 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 and that. Right? Anything you want, except things that go against my desire. That's what we're saying. But anyway, so there's different shashtika verses for different devotees. So you can stop at the first one when you chant. Don't chant all eight shashtikas anymore. I'm just joking, of course. But they don't all apply to you at this stage. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes the Shishashtika verses according to different stages of devotion. So anyway, so let's go back to the story of Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ramananda Roy went higher than Jnana Misra Bhakti, and then he went to pure devotional service. And then Lord Chaitanya said, go higher. And then he went to devotional service and servitude, higher. And then after that, devotional service and friendship, and then parental, and then finally conjugal, and then Lord Chaitanya said, go higher. And then he started talking about Srimati Radharani, and then Lord Chaitanya said, go higher. And then he started talking about Vipralamba Seva, worshipping Krishna in separation, you know, the highest mood, Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. So in other words, there's different platforms for different devotees and different instructions for different devotees. And so the Yamadutas are going to find out about this too. That the injunctions that they were following previously about punishing people who are sinful don't apply in all circumstances. Not that they're wrong injunctions, they just don't apply under certain circumstances. So it requires discrimination. That's the point. Devotional service requires some discrimination. As Prabhupada said, discrimination is the better part of valor. Which means you have to use your brain. Because if you're always blindly following, like here's what the Yamadutas were doing. They were blindly following Yamaraj's injunctions. Punish the sinners. They didn't, you know, they had like blinders like a horse. So if your Krishna consciousness is like that, always do this, always do that, don't. And you don't use your sense of discrimination, you won't be capable of spreading the movement. You won't be able to become a leader in the Krishna consciousness movement. You'll be a blind follower, which Prabhupada condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. So you have to have this mature... The point is to become mature enough so you can have discrimination according to time, place, and circumstance. That's a preacher. And so the Yamadutas were not very mature. They were immature, and later on they became mature by the instructions of Yamaraj. So any questions or comments? We have about one more minute left to class. I cover a lot of subject matters in the class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Yeah.
What is the difference in terms of the benefit of people who just hear the Holy Name or do Namabash?
Well, that's when they just hear the Holy Name, that's the beginning of Namabash. That's chanting or hearing as a reflection. I mean, the point is we should allow them to hear the pure name. If we are following strictly the principles and other injunctions, chanting our rounds like that, then we're actually transmitting the pure name from His Divine Grace to the Prabhupada. And so we have the ability to give people, we've been blessed to give people the pure name, the Shuddha Nama. No one else outside of those connected with the cyclic succession can give the pure name. Other religions and whatever, unless they're connected and following strictly, they're best giving people Namabash. Like, Allah, Allah, that's Namabash. Because unless someone's pure, if someone's a pure devotee in that particular religion, then it may be Shuddha Nama. So you give people Shuddha Nama, but their hearing is Namabash. Because they don't really know what they're doing. Or chanting, like George Harrison, for example, the first time I heard the chanting of Hare Krishna was with that song, My Sweet Lord. Anyone's heard that song? Like, I really want to see you, Lord. I take so long, I know. So I heard it on the radio. I really want to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so I started dancing around Hare Krishna. And then all my sins flew away. And then I became a vegetarian. No, I actually was a vegetarian before that. But then I became disinterested. My parents said, why are you not interested in your education anymore? And I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. And they said, my son has gone mad. At one point, they even called a psychiatrist. My father said, this is after I joined the movement. My father said, I'd like you to meet my friend, Dr. Jekyll, or whatever, you know, my friend. And, you know, I thought it was just a social gathering. Then my father said, oh, I have to go out and do my business for 3 hours. I'll be back in 3 hours. So he leaves me alone with the psychiatrist for 3 hours. And the psychiatrist said, how are you feeling? Happy. Do you ever get depressed? No. And then after 3 hours, my father comes back and he says, he's not crazy. Because I was thinking, he's crazy. Like Prabhupada said, who's crazy? So, but I didn't tell him that, or else I would have been locked away for a while. So, anyway, so Namabash chanting. So as soon as I heard George Harrison chanting, and then I heard Prabhupada on the radio too. They were playing this first album that Prabhupada made, that I think it was a Happening album or something like that. And then I listened to it and I recorded it. And I kept listening to it over and over again. And then someone gave me a Krishna book. And I read a story in the Krishna book about Krishna stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. And I couldn't get it out of my mind. I became obsessive, compulsive. Not compulsive, just obsessive. Obsessed. I thought I was going crazy. A little blue boy stealing butter, feeding to monkeys. I said, what's happening with me? So that's Namabash. I didn't know what was happening. I read it, but I didn't know what it meant. You know, monkeys eating butter. I've never seen that in my whole life. So then by that Namabash, then eventually, you know, here I am today. So then, therefore, we should go out in Harinam, book distribution, preach it on the radio. Like we have Sadashiva and Vishwanath and other devotees preach on the radio every Sunday. It's very nice. And Rupa Nuga also does it. So, any other questions? Yeah.
If Holy Name to remove our sins, why doesn't it stop someone from doing more sins?
Ah, that's very, very good. It removes the sinful reactions. But until you chant purely the Papa Bijam, the seed or even the kuta, the inclination, is not completely destroyed. You have to chant purely to destroy it. All the sinful reactions are destroyed. but your inclination is still there. Because it doesn't take away your free will. Chanting gives you a higher taste, takes away your sin, but you still can choose. You still have your free will. So yes. Because in sin, we talk about kuta, bija, you know, the inclination, the seed of sinful desire, and that still may remain. So we have to chant purely. Chanting purely fries the desire seed. But until that seed of desire is fried, we have to use our intelligence to control ourselves. Because we still may have the inclination. You know, you may walk by a cake shop which has eggs in it, you know, cakes with eggs, and have the inclination. Delicious. So the inclination is still there. So that with the intelligence, that's buddhi, we call ourselves, we perform buddhi yoga. With intelligence, you know, no, this is not good for me. This will impede my spiritual progress. But the inclination may be there. That's a fact. As long as one is not on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, I mean pure devotional service, Krishna Prema, there's some inclination toward it. The anarthas are somewhat there. Anarthas go away gradually through the different steps of Bhakti Yoga, Dhotra, Tata, Sadhusandhota, Anartha, Nivritya, etc. But they're not completely, absolutely gone until you come to Prema. Like Bhart Maharaj. Bhart Maharaj had no anarthas, but there was still the possibility of them coming back. In other words, the anarthas weren't completely gone. They weren't absolutely gone. They were completely gone, but not absolutely gone. So Bhart Maharaj succumbed to an affection for the deer, and he had to take birth as a deer, even though he was on the platform of Baba. So I don't think anyone here is on the platform of Baba. Is there? No. Baba means that every time you hear Lord Chaitanya's name, you start shaking. Or you see the deities, you just faint. Instead of standing up and taking darshan, you'd be on the ground. Your dandabat would last 20 minutes. Not because you're sleeping, you didn't get enough sleep last night. I've seen that happen too. The audio office, get up, what's the problem? But if you're on the platform, Baba, you still have to be careful of sinful desires or desires that take you away from Krishna. But on Krishna Prema platform, no. Don't be careful. Don't worry about it. So different injunctions for different people. You don't have to worry about anything. You can go into a bar and start preaching to people. You can do anything you want when you're on the platform of Krishna Prema. But when you're on any other platform, you stay in the association of devotees, you remain really careful because Maya is very strong. You know, Krishna's illusion, Mama Maya, Duracheya. Okay, on that happy note, I don't know if that's a happy note, on that note, let's end and then we'll offer our faces. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai. Gaur Premananda, Hare Krishna.